Almighty God, you reign forever.
Hallelujah. You're the Almighty God, Father. You're our Heavenly Father. You reign forever. We exalt you in this place tonight. We honor you and bless you. Thank you. You've been so good. We reverence you with all of our hearts, saying you are good and your mercy endures forever. Father, there's no one like you, no one to be compared to you. You're in a category all by yourself. You've opened the way to heaven to us through the blood and the crucifixion and the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. Tonight, we celebrate you. We honor you. We thank you for making a way for us to have access, complete, total access to you. So, as we bring the word tonight, Father, your word is the most powerful thing in this earth. Your word, Father God, has changed our lives, our world. Your word, Father God, is alive. It's powerful. It's active. Father, there's nothing like the power that's in your word. Your word drips with anointing and power, just waiting to be sent for the purpose to which you have called it. Father, you've called your word for a purpose on tonight. And Father, we direct that word for that specific purpose. And we know your word won't come back void. These are your people, the sheep of your pasture, some watching via live stream, some live in this service. Oh, but your word, your mighty word is going forth to all who are listening. Speak a word to every individual listening. Speak a word to every situation, into every circumstance. Shine the light into every situation, every category. Father God, your word is what we've come for tonight. We shall be changed by the mighty word of God. Go ahead and speak. If you speak to us, we'll yield unto you. If you speak to us, we'll do what you say. If you speak to us, Father God, we'll make adjustments where you say make adjustments. We'll do what you say do. If you tell someone to repent, they're going to repent. If you tell someone to be encouraged, they'll be encouraged. If you tell someone to receive strength, they'll receive strength. Whatever it is, Father, your word has the answer. Heaven and earth may pass away, but not your word. Your word will remain forever. We thank you that the inerrancy of Scripture is before us. The power of your word is before us. And so we mix your word with faith tonight. We mix the word with faith. We mix the word with faith. We mix the word with faith. And so be pleased to bless our pastors, all of those who are with them, all of those who are ministering tonight on behalf of this ministry. Be with them. Guard, keep them, anoint, use them, protect all those who are with them. And all here, we thank you and give you the glory for feeding your sheep, for feeding your people, for directing your word. Now, we'll be careful. We'll give you all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the praises for everything that's done, everything that's wrought in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise God. Well, as you're seated, can we thank Dan, our entire frontline singers and band musicians? You know, just going into the presence of God like that, we just thank them for coming prepared and ready, and we just appreciate them. Give them one more hand. Let them know you appreciate that. They've practiced. They've spent hours practicing and getting ready tonight, and we appreciate that. We thank God for them. Two or three weeks ago, during one of my times with the Lord, I woke up one morning and I was getting ready for my quiet time, and this subject came to my mind, and I started thinking about it all during my quiet time, and it's about that TV show, The Voice. Has anybody ever seen that TV show, The Voice? It's an NBC program, and a little bit different than American Idol, but it's a talent show competition, basically. Very popular TV show. I must confess now, I've seen it many times, but I haven't watched it this year. I haven't seen it this year. But the idea of the show is that celebrity judges, they judge the voice of contestants, and they try to get them on their team and develop them. And if these contestants come and sing, and if they're selected, then the judges work with them and try and get them ready. If you win, you get some type of, I think you get $100,000 and you get a recording contract, is the idea of the show. But what the thing that's caught my attention and the impetus behind the sermon is when the judges are listening to the contestants, their backs are turned to them. Have you ever seen this show? So they're sitting in seats with their backs turned to the contestants, and their backs are turned so they're not looking at what they look like, or they're not being thrown off by any other nuance. They're simply, their backs are turned so that they can hear the voice of the individual and judge their talent just based on their voice. And so that thought has spiraled into what we have tonight. So anyway, the title of this sermon tonight, The Voice. That's the title of this message tonight, The Voice. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 3, going those first 13 verses and reading New American Standard tonight, if you will. I'm going to go back and forth between New American Standard and New Living Translation tonight. But 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're not talking about that TV show, The Voice, tonight. We're talking about the voice of God, the voice of your Heavenly Father tonight. And let's jump right into the Word. 1 Samuel chapter 3 at verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were infrequent. And it happened at that time, as Eli was lying down in his place, now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well. Verse 3, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Verse 4. That the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And then he ran into Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he, meaning Eli, said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. Verse 6, the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." But Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. Verse 8, so the Lord called to Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant's listening.'" Everybody say that tonight. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Close your eyes and say that to him. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Oh, yeah. Back to our text. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, verse 10. And then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. And in that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him I'm about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them." In this passage of Scripture, I'm first drawing attention to the fact that God was speaking to the boy Samuel, who was ministering to him. And as God spoke to him three times, he didn't know it was the Lord. He didn't know it was the Lord. Four things I want you to, these aren't my points, I just want to make four observations about that text. Four quick observations about what we just read. Number one, you know, it said there that a word of the Lord was rare in those days. We read that in the first verse. A word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. And, you know, that was because of Israel's disobedience, their constant rebellion to God. A word of the Lord was rare because of the hearts of the people. But let me tell you that, that's not our situation today. Aren't you glad today? The word of the Lord is not rare today. The word of the Lord is constant and frequent and commonplace for those who have ears to hear and will listen to their Heavenly Father. I said, if you're a child of God, the word of the Lord is not rare to you. Look no further to the holy word of God, the power of inerrancy in Scripture and God's word. As Pastor said this morning, look, his word is him speaking to us. Let me tell you this way. His word is his voice to you. It's the first way to discern the voice of the Lord. It's through his word. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. And so you see, the word was rare in those days, but thank God, over in Hebrews 1:1. Now listen, I got so many scriptures tonight, we're not going to get to them all. We'll just get to as many as we can. But I just want to quote this one to you. You don't have to turn there. Hebrews 1:1, it says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. Verse 2, now in these last days, now in these final days, God has spoken to us through his Son. So God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through his Son, he created the universe. So the Bible says, in these final days, God, he's speaking, all right. How's he speaking? He's speaking through his Son. He's speaking through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus is the Logos. He's the Word of God. And so to hear the voice of the Lord, you've got to get in the book. I said, amen. I said, the Bible says right there in Hebrews 1:1, if you want to hear God speak, God is speaking in these final days through his Son. And his Son is speaking through his Word. I need a bigger amen than that. Y'all are getting me stuck on that. I don't hear a vibrant amen there. I'm thinking I need to explain that more, which makes me start all over again. Let me go back. I woke up a few days ago. No. All right. My first observation from that text is the word of the Lord was rare in those days, but a word of the Lord is not rare today. But we need ears that are trained to hear. The problem with Samuel was he didn't have ears that were trained to hear. Secondly, I want to observe from that text, listen, you're never going to be comfortable with his voice if you're not comfortable with his word. That's the point we're making. His voice is his word. His word is his voice. And I'll guarantee you this, anybody who's ever been influential to you in any way, you know their voice. You know their voice.
Yes.
Now, a few days ago, you know, I was going back through my phone, and I could see that I had so many undeleted voice messages. I don't know, maybe like 200, 300 undeleted voice messages. And I thought, man, I ought to delete all these voice messages. And I thought, I'm just going to delete them all, mass delete them. And I just clicked on one, and it was from a couple years ago. You know who it was? It was the voice of my father. Yeah, my dad passed away January the 4th, 2014. And so this was a couple of months before he passed away. And he was just giving me an encouragement and saying, son, I love you. And I heard his voice. It just melted me. I couldn't listen to the rest of it. I don't know. And I couldn't delete any. I thought, man, there's going to be some more in there. I ain't deleting nothing. I'll keep all 200, however many it is, I'm going to keep them. His voice was precious. Just hearing his voice again. And you know, there are significant others in your life, and they don't have to call and say, this is Joey, or this is Sue, or this is Jane. There are people who can call you, and they just start talking, and you know who it is.
Yes.
Now, there are some folk who don't have that kind of closeness to you. They start talking, you say, now, who is this? Most people who call me, I know. But somebody called me not long ago, and they just went on and on and on. I said, who is this now? Wait a minute. Who is this? I don't know you like that. But there are some influential people in your life, and they can just call you, and you can just hear that voice. You can hear those voice tones, and man, you know exactly who it is. You recognize the voice. I said you recognize the voice. And so, look, a word from the Lord was rare, but it's not rare today. Listen, you're never going to be comfortable with his voice if you're not comfortable with his word. A third observation, the problem in this text was not that God was not speaking. The problem in this text was that Samuel didn't have a trained ear to hear his voice. Voice 7 told us that he didn't know the Lord. You could say it this way, he didn't yet know the voice of the Lord. He hadn't been trained in listening to discern the voice of the Lord. And so God was speaking, but Samuel wasn't sensitive to that. And the fourth thing I want to observe about that text is that no further revelation came to him until he first was able to discern who was talking to him. You notice God called him, but he didn't tell him anything. He called him 3 times, but he didn't tell him anything until Samuel said, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Then God said, this is what I'm about to do. And God gave him a word. He gave him revelation after he recognized his voice. No revelation came till he recognized who was talking to him. And God, he's got something to say to you, my brother and sister.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
And I believe this. I believe he's got a whole lot more to say to us. Let me put it that way. He's got a whole lot more to say to us than we have recognized him for.
Yes. Amen.
And so while we may be getting bits and pieces, God has a lot more to say to you.
Yes.
Look at Psalm 48 real quick with me. Psalm 48, verse 14, New Living Translation. Psalm 48, verse 14, it says, "For that is what God is like. He is our God forever and ever, and he will guide us until we die." I like that. God will guide us until we die. We don't have the Holman translation, but over in that translation it says, God will always lead us. It's the same thing. He will always lead us. He will continually lead us. He will guide us until we die. God wants to guide you and I. But we got to do a better job of training ourselves to hear and know what is the authentic voice of the Lord. Because you see, if you don't know it's the Lord, then you don't act on it. Or if you do, you act real slow and timid on it when you should just be moving out to what he said do. But faith begins where the will of God is known. And if we're not sure of his voice, we're not going to know his will, and we won't discern accurately what he's trying to get to us. So we won't be moving in faith with him if we don't train our ear better. And in our environment today, we assume that everybody else can hear better than us. And so sometimes people foolishly begin to lean. They say, "Well, you know, he seemed to hear pretty good. Let me just get over here and hear with you. He said, what the Lord said to you? Okay, that's what the Lord said to me too. What the Lord said to you? Oh, he said that to me too." No, wait a minute. God's got a rhema word for you. But you're going to have to discern what that is. Over in Isaiah 28, verse 23, God says this, Isaiah 28, 23, "Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my words." And so we see over and over again man's opportunity to hear what thus saith the Lord. For the sake of time, I'm going to ask you not to turn here. I'm going to give you a scripture so you can know what I'm telling you is in the Word. I'll give you two scriptures, but what I'm quoting from is Acts chapter 1, verse 26. The verse reads like this: "Then they cast lots, and Matthias was selected to become an apostle from the other 11. Then they cast lots, and Matthias was chosen to become an apostle from the other 11. What's going on there? Peter discerned, reading Psalm 69 and some other portions of Scripture, that since Judas had betrayed the Lord, Scripture had predicted that they had to replace his office. And so Peter, looking in Scripture and seeing that, said, "Look, we've got to make another decision. We've got to get somebody on board to replace Judas." And so they did that. But verse 26 of Acts chapter 1 says, to make the decision, they chose by lot. They chose Matthias by lot. In other words, they cast lot. Now, what is going on here? Were they down at the casino gambling? What were they doing? A lot in that day was a common way to hear what the Lord was saying. A lot oftentimes could it'd be more... we'd be more familiar with like drawing straws, and the short straw wins or something like that, you know. And but a lot actually many times was stones. They used stones, and on the stones they would carve someone's name, and then they would put those stones into an urn or something, and then they would ask the Lord that the stone that's pulled out with the name on it, that's the decision from the Lord. Kind of like if you read Proverbs 16:33, it says, you know, the lot is cast from men, but the answer comes from the Lord. God allowed this archaic, backwards way of discerning his will because they did not have something that you and I have today. In that day, before we got to Acts chapter 2, they did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling down on the inside of them. When Jesus is talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives in John 14 and 15 and 16, and he said, "The Holy Spirit will be with you and be in you." And Jesus said, in that day, you'll use my name. In that day, you'll ask the Father in my name. In that, Jesus kept referring to the day in which we live now. So we're living now in a different day and age. And back then, they didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them the way we do. Well, when Acts chapter 2 came, the church is birthed and they had the Holy Spirit. And you'll never see this phrase from Acts 1:26 used again. not in the book of Acts, and not anywhere from Acts forward through the epistles that are written to the church. You don't see that phrase. You know why? Because they had the Holy Ghost on the inside of them, and God expected them to follow his leading through his word and through the inward witness. I said the same way that you and I are to be led by the Holy Ghost today is the same thing he expected from them after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where they could all identify the Holy Ghost is down on the inside of us now. And we can be led from the inside out. I said, that's a much better way. I said, 100 years ago, people walked by foot and people traveled by horse. They got where they needed to go. Today, we mainly get there by automobile or by some faster mode of transportation, a train or a plane. Was there anything wrong with the way they got around back then? No, there's just a better way to do it today. I mean, most people say that's a better way to do it today. And as in the church age now, there's a better way to be led today. And God's expecting us to follow that inward witness, that inward leading. Are you with me now? And so they cast the lot there because they didn't have the Spirit they could rely on from the inside. Tonight, I want to say three things in the time that we have left. And these are the three things essentially I came to say to you tonight. I'm just going to show you my hand. First of all, the first thing I'm going to talk about is the care, C-A-R-E, the cost, C-O-S-T, and finally, the choice. In the time that we have remaining tonight, the care, the cost, and the choice. This, I said all of what I said prior to now to be able to say these things to you. When I say the care, the first point, what am I talking about? The care, it's the care that God has for you, my friend. I want to say this. God cares so much about you that he knows your name and he knows your voice.
Amen. Yes, he does.
You are particular and special to God. Yes. You are the apple of God's eye. You are the one God's got his eye on.
Right.
It's like Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is made perfect toward him. His eyes are looking at you tonight. I said, God, he's focused on you. He hears you when you call. He hears you when you cry. He hears you when you pray. And he knows your voice. He cares about you. Real quick, 2 Samuel 22, verse 7. 2 Samuel 22, verse 7. David said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. Yes, I cried to my God, and from his temple, he heard my voice. Oh, let's talk about you, my brother and sister. When you cry to God, he hears your voice. Oh, yes, he does. Psalm 118, verse 5. Psalm 118, verse 5. From my distress, I called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered me. He's sensitive when you call him. John chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come into him. The sheep recognize his voice. But he, and it goes on to say, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That's the rest of that verse. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. One more in reference to all of that. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, O Jacob, God's doing the talking. Now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, to the one who formed you. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Verse 2, when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Why? Because he called you by name and you belong to him.
Amen.
I said, God cares about you. The care. He cares about you so much. He knows not just your name, he knows your voice. And when you call, he can distinguish your voice from every other individual who belongs to him on this planet.
Yes.
He hears you when you call. The Bible says that God will leave the 99 sheep and go and check on the one, and that one is you. God's checking on you tonight. He's checking on you tonight. Psalm 28, verse 6, blessed be the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication. And one of the things that you and I will be accountable for is how well we have listened to his voice. Psalm 81, verse 11. Psalm 81, verse 11. Go there with me real quick. Go there with me real quick. Psalm 81, verse 11. But my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. Psalm 81, verse 11. My people did not listen to my voice. Israel did not obey me, so I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart to walk in their own devices. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate the Lord would pretend, obedience to him, and their time of punishment would be forever. But I would feed you with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock I will satisfy you. What's your point, preacher? My point is that God knows your voice, and he hears you when you call. God cares about you. Secondly, my second point, the cost. There's a great reward that comes to the man or to the woman who takes time to learn the voice of the Lord and the leading of the Lord. And so often when we speak about his voice, sometimes as ministers, we can sometimes give people a disservice, because sometimes people can be led to think that we're always hearing the voice of the Lord. We're always hearing an audible voice. You will get yourself in trouble going around listening, seeking an audible voice of God. It doesn't mean that God doesn't have a still small voice. He does. God does have that still small voice. But let me tell you the main way God speaks to his children: through his word, number one.
Yes.
Number two, through the inward witness.
Right.
Number three, through that still small voice.
Right.
If you go around seeking some type of outward voice, the enemy himself will accommodate you with that. And the reason is because it's not scriptural. Because the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you.
Yes.
If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, I don't have a bigger amen. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of you.
Amen.
So if you're seeking a voice on the outside of you, see, it's not scriptural. And if you'll learn to follow the word first, follow the inward witness second, follow that still small voice third, God will lead you and guide you every place you need to go. So when we're speaking of his voice, one thing we mean by that, we're speaking of his word. When we're speaking of his voice, another thing we mean by that is we're speaking of the inward witness, the leading of the inward witness. When we're speaking of his voice, one thing we mean by that, that's still small voice. Let the word of God be your final authority. And you know, they say about shepherds, they can mix their flocks together to sleep for the evening or whatever. Several shepherds can come into one area and they can mix all of the flocks together. But then when that shepherd calls, the sheep know his voice or her voice, and those sheep can be separated by the voice of the shepherd. Over in John chapter 10, go to John chapter 10 with me at verse 4. John chapter 10 at verse 4. When he puts forth his own, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. The stranger they simply will not follow, but flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Look down at verse 14, John 10, 14. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice. And they will become one flock with one shepherd. How are they going to hear his voice? Through his word, through the inward witness, through that still small voice. John 10 at verse 24. Look down at verse 24. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me, but you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. Verse 27. My sheep. Everybody say, my sheep. Listen to what he says. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them and they'll never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them from the Father's hand. You know what Jesus said? Three things about his sheep. They hear his voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Three characteristics of his sheep. There is a cost. When we miss it, when we fail to discern his voice through his word or through the inward witness or even through that still small voice, There's a cost when we miss it. I remember one year after graduating from Rhema many moons ago, and all of our friends were just gone to the four corners of the earth. And every time we prayed, the Lord just said, just stay right here. After a while, I didn't want to hear him saying, stay right here. I wanted to go like my friends were going. And I started developing a desire on the side. And you got to be careful what desires you let your heart have, because you start desiring something and you can get your own fleshly desire going. But Psalm 37:4, the Lord said this, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires. He'll plant desires in you. The desires that need to be there, God will plant. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll plant the correct desire in you. And see, I was getting my own desire. I want to go. I want to go and plant a church. I want to go. And so eventually we left here. And then we got out there. It was not long before the chilly spiritual winds began to blow. And I knew that wasn't right. Oh, my goodness, I missed it. Oh, man. Oh, missed it. Wasn't supposed to do that. Wasn't supposed to leave here. Then New Jersey, the kids are in New Jersey, kids are in this school. It took 8 months to get out of that. Couldn't just pluck them up out of school, but missed it. Should have just stayed with the inward witness. Should have just stayed with it. Should have just stayed with it. God's talking to somebody. Just stay with the inward witness. Stop comparing yourself to somebody else. Stop looking at other people around you. Stay with what God told you to do. You are his sheep. Listen, he's shepherding you. He's leading you. He's leaving the 99 alone talking to you. Took 8 months to get out of that. It's costly. I said to myself, that's a mistake I'm not going to easily make again. 1985, listening to Brother Hagin, he said this, you know, he said, people think that I haven't missed it talking about himself. And he said, but I've missed it many times. He said, the thing that I endeavor to do is I learn from it when I miss it. And he said, if you think you're going to leave here and not miss it, you're sadly mistaken. And he's looking at us students, you know, he said, you're going to miss it sometimes. But he said, let me tell you this, when you miss it, just listen, get up. And he said, first of all, learn from it, learn something from it. And I missed it there. And I said, Father, I'm going to learn from that. And about 10 or 11 years later, the Lord spoke to me, and I knew through the word and through the inward witness, I knew, get ready to go into full-time ministry. Get yourself ready. I knew something's coming my way. I'm getting ready for that. A pastor called me. He said, Doc, we've been praying for you. He said, matter of fact, been fasting and praying, my whole church. He said, man, we're getting ready to go out into ministry. We want to leave the church and we want to turn the church over to somebody. We want to feel like we should turn the church over to you. He said, don't know what God's saying to you, but said, we're up to 500 people. We got our own building, things running well. He said, come out here and preach for me, see for yourself. But want to be clear, I want you to take the church. And so, went up there and preached. I thought, man, if I get up here and it's hard to preach, I know that maybe they'll be, no, I got up there, it was easy to preach. The people said amen every place they could say amen. No. I'll never forget what happened when the plane landed coming back here to Tulsa. He said, when we got on the plane, listen, take a couple days and then let us know. We're ready for you in 2 weeks. We're going to pay all your moving expenses. He said, I know you're making a pretty good penny up there at FedEx. You know, senior manager, I had a six-figure income. He said, I understand you're going to have about a six-figure income. We've already budgeted that. The church is going to match whatever your FedEx salary is. We're going to pay all your moving expenses. We're ready for you in 2 weeks. Go back. Give me an answer in a couple days. We're getting off the plane. I asked my wife, what do you think? She said, I think we should do it. The Lord already told you to get ready to go into full-time ministry. What do you think? I said, I think we should do it too. And I said this, coming down the little ramp at the airport. I said, but wait a minute. We made a mistake 10 years ago, and I'm not willing to make that mistake again. We got too far up here in the head. And I said, that pastor's talking about salary and how easy it is, and that's just the best. That's just like a dream situation to walk into a situation like that. And I said, I'm not willing to do that. Let's go back and let's pray and let's ask the Lord. And so we got back and we started praying, but it didn't get clear. It wasn't clear. It wasn't clear what we should do. It was muddy. It was not clear. And so I said, look, let's slip over into some fasting and prayer. Let's take a few days and let's skip our meal each day. And let's just fast and pray through the evening time and the night time. And we started fasting and praying like that. And oh, man, got clear as a bell, got crystal clear. Just no, that's not it. That's not it. Don't do it. That's not it. Do not do that. Just got crystal clear. And so I called him and he said, Doc, you ready to go? I said, no. I said, Pastor, look, I thank you so much. I love you. I'm not coming. He told me, he said, Bill, listen to me now. He said, we have fasted and prayed. We are sure that the Lord is telling us it's you. And I said, you know what? I've fasted and prayed, and I am sure that the Lord's telling me it's not me. It ain't me. And I'll pray for whoever it is, whoever, but it's not me. It's not me. I know it's not me. I'm sure of that. He said, if you change your mind, I said, if I change my mind, but I'm not going to change my mind. I know I've heard from the Lord. It's not a pride thing. I know I've heard. I'm telling you, look somewhere else. It ain't me. You're looking at the wrong guy. It ain't me. I ain't coming. I ain't moving. I ain't leaving. I ain't going nowhere. I didn't know. See, the Lord had all this in store for me. I had no idea. You say, surely you must have known the Lord wanted you to stay here. No, I had no idea. Not a clue. When he said, get ready for ministry, I just assumed it's going to be somewhere outside of Tulsa. You understand what I'm saying? And so the thing is, you know, so I knew it wasn't me. Now, as it turns out, just not to leave you hanging on that point, but just as it turns out, look, it was actually, he got it twisted. The Lord never told him to leave. He told me months later, I missed it. The Lord told me never to leave, that I was not supposed to leave. I got my desire on traveling ministers. I'm pastoring, dealing with cleaning up after the sheep. I got tired of that. I'm looking at traveling ministers come through my church and it looks so easy. I want to do that. I just want to travel. He said, I got that desire of him. And he said, I kept talking to the Lord. He just let me. And he said, but I missed it doing that. I was never supposed to leave. He said, thank God you knew it wasn't you. Because if both of us had missed it, then I would have really been up. You know, he said, I really would have been down the creek if both of us had missed it. He said, thank God at least you were. But I learned, see, I had missed it before. I learned something from the time when I missed it before. And sometimes, you know, you got to get out of your head. You got some wonderful stuff in your head. Now you got some goofy, sometimes, you know, we have goofy stuff in your head. But there's some wonderful stuff in your head too. But you got to unbraid that. You got to unbraid all that. Because sometimes we get all that braided up together. That is the voice, the leading of the Lord, along with some great ideas that we have. And just some goofiness or whatever. You get all that braided up. You got to unbraid that. So you have the strand that is clearly the leading of the Lord for you. And you don't need a man. You don't need a woman for that. You need your shepherd. You need your Father God. That's all you need. You need his word. That's all you need. You need a bended knee. That's all you need. You need some pushback from your busy schedule. I wish I had an amen here. That's all you need. The choice. The third point I'm just going to barely make and run. Look, the choice is yours. That's my third point. The choice. You have a choice to make. Whenever you hear the voice of the Lord, you got a choice. Are you going to listen and be blessed? Or are you going to grieve the Spirit of God and miss the blessing God has for you? God's speaking to somebody right here today, right now, tonight. He's speaking to you. There are people in here right now. You know it's the Lord. And the real question is, are you going to obey what he's telling you to do? Are you going to put down the flesh? Are you going to put down the rebellion of your flesh and obey what God told you to do? Because that's the only place to be blessed. Some people, when they hear God speak, they get afraid, like Governor Felix in Acts 24. Don't go there. Just write it down. Acts 24, 24 and 25. Paul gave him his testimony. Conviction came on him. He got afraid and said, get out of my presence. I don't want to hear anything else. Get out of my presence. The Spirit of God came. He's get out of my presence. I don't want to hear anymore. I'll hear from you later. Paul was speaking to King Agrippa in Acts 26, verse 24 through 29. And Agrippa said, you think you're going to convince me to become a Christian in a short time like this? You sharing your testimony, witnessing to me? I'm the king. You think that you're going to convince me to become a Christian in a short time like this? Uh-uh. You might be here like that tonight. You think, preacher, In 35 minutes and 40 minutes, you're going to convince me to become a Christian? You think you're going to convince me to give my life back to Christ in 45 minutes? You better listen to the one talking to you.
Amen. Yes.
It ain't the preacher. Right. Ain't got nothing to do with the preacher tonight. It's your Heavenly Father.
Amen.
It's the shepherd of the sheep. There was a Roman jailer in Acts 16 that Paul also witnessed to, Acts 16, 27 through 30. And after beating Paul and putting his feet in the stocks, him and Silas, they prayed and sang praises to God, and an earthquake hit that place. And after the earthquake hit that place, the jailer rushed in and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's the correct response when God's speaking to you.
Yes, it is.
What do I need to do, Lord? Show me what to do. Hey, if God's talking to you tonight, you need to ask him, Lord, you show me what to do, I'll do it. You show me what step to take, I'll take it. If you'll do that, he's going to help you. My friend, the Bible says this, don't harden your heart. When you hear the Lord's voice, don't harden your heart. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The Lord, he's speaking to somebody right now. That's him tugging at your heart. You feel compelled. You've something, God is dealing with you and you know it. You know it. You know God's speaking to you. He wants you to come down here and make things right. In your head, you're having thoughts that are different than that. Still, you desire to hear from him, to be pleasing to him. The question is, are you going to be more concerned about what people are thinking or about what your Heavenly Father's trying to do in your life? Every head's bowed in here. If you're here, you know, maybe you're a Christian and you're not living for God. You're not living right. You're out of fellowship with God and you know it. He knows it. You know it. The devil knows it. And tonight, it's your time to make it right. Let me see your hand in here. You say, I just want you to pray for me. I want to make it right. God's dealing with my heart. I want to make it right. Ushers, help me in here. Every other head is bowed. Ushers, stand up and help me. Lift your hand. You want prayer tonight. I want prayer in this place. My heart's not right. I know I'm not right with God. Are you going to listen to him or are you going to grieve him? My heart's not right. Let me see your hand in here. You may be here. Maybe you've never received Jesus as your Savior. You've never received him as your Lord. But tonight can be your first time. If you're not sure, if you were to die tonight, if you were to slip away from this earth. I've done so many funerals, you know, and thank God the funerals I've done recently, you know, and the person was ready for heaven. But the question is, are you ready if something were to happen to you? And maybe you're not sure of that. And if you're not, you can be sure of that before you leave this place. Let me see your hand in here tonight. If you're here tonight, you want to be filled with the mighty Holy Spirit of God. You say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. I'd like to, that valid New Testament experience from Acts 2. I'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me see your hand in here tonight. On any invitation, with every head bowed, if you raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand, I want you just to stand up on your feet right now. Just stand boldly up on your feet right now and tell the Lord you're going to obey him. And I want you just to step out of the aisle and come down here. Let me pray for you. If you'll do that, God's going to help you in an amazing way. Just stand up on your feet right now and come down here and let me pray for you. Praise God. All right, Father, I thank you. We see no hands here tonight, but I know you're dealing with some people. And so, Father, we pray they'll not be able to rest until they make this right with you. We pray you'll give them if they have another opportunity, if they get another opportunity. We pray they will. We pray they will. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Father. You're a merciful God. You're a merciful God. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's come to the end of our time together, my brother and sister. The Lord's voice. God's talking to you. And the question is, are you listening? Mary, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, Mary went to the garden where she was grieved and very emotional and crying. And she was talking to someone, and she didn't realize she was talking to Jesus. The Bible says she thought she was talking to the gardener. And the Lord didn't give her any revelation until he called her and said, Mary. And she recognized his voice and said, Rabboni. And then he said, don't touch me. I haven't ascended to your Father and my Father and your God and my God. But he gave her instruction. He gave her revelation after that. God's trying to talk to you, my friend. And if you'll spend some extra time in his word, you're going to sense some leading through the mighty word of God. He's got rhema word for you. Push back on that busy schedule. We all have busy schedules. Push back on that schedule. Make a little extra time for him. Be more yielded, not from your head, but about 18 inches below that, to your heart. Be more yielded to that inward leading, that inward witness, and then that still small voice. And oh man, you're going to make the best decisions of your life. There's a little cost because you have to spend time to get with him, but it's better than the cost of missing it. We've all missed it. We've all made mistakes and missed it, but hey, God's talking to you. And he wants you to clearly understand so that you can walk in all of the will of the Lord and he can lead you and guide you. There's decisions that you have to make. God's going to help you if you'll look to him and turn to him. All right, Father, we've endeavored, done our best to share as you've led us tonight, and we'll just give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for what you're doing in your people tonight, Father God, in Jesus' name. Hey, you are dismissed. Thank you so much for being here. Hey, before you go, did we have any first-time guests? We did. We had one first-time guest. Listen, go with our connection team person, and we want to just give you the gift Pastor Tat was talking about. Go with them right now. Let's give that person another hand for coming tonight the first time. All right, and we'll just give them just a moment. Listen, you spend a little extra time this week. God's got to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. And when you discern that it's him, he'll give you the revelation. He'll tell you what he's talking about. When you're saying, okay, Lord, now I know it's you. Now I know that's you in your word. Now I know that's you in the inward witness. Now I know that's you in that still soul. He'll give you the rest of the revelation that he's got for you. And he's got something to say to you. All right. We love you. God bless you. You be right here Wednesday, Hour of Power. God bless you. Have a good evening.